I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and recent defeater of Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad, and I'm realizing after hearing you say this for maybe like the, I don't know, like 100th, 150th time, our intro, that two best friends and congregators who ask each other questions and give each other answers is so like, it's so on the nose for what we actually do, which is I will ask you a question and then immediately give you the answer.
That's true. It's a whole lot of, and like we've stretched our definition of what question is to the point of complete disuse. Now,
no, it's
where it's like, yeah, I have a question for you. I went to San Francisco recently. Here's what happened.
Yeah. Dan, have you ever been in the grocery store and had somebody in a wig and weird glasses and a crypto hat trying to ask you if you'd go to a house with them?
You didn't even give me a chance to answer that one. It would have been no, but I would have appreciated the opportunity. Thanks to Rocket Money for supporting our podcast. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/QQ.
How have you been?
Good. I mentioned this. I feel like I have a lot to say to you this episode.
Great.
I mentioned
well,
this.
We've missed each other for a little while. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I mentioned this Super Mario thing right up top. My 5-year-old nephew Murphy got a Switch for Christmas. And so I was over there playing this Mario. And if you don't know Super Mario Deluxe, it's basically like it's the Switch version of the Mario you know and love. Side scroller. You have 7 or 8 different worlds with different Koopas, and then you fight Bowser, you rescue the princess. There's new suits to collect and wear. It's a typical Mario game, the kind I've played a million times before. And I was over at my brother and sister-in-law's house playing this game with Murphy, because you could do a 2-player option of it. And I know that he's like quietly relying on me to beat these levels so we can advance. And I just couldn't. I was just fucking eating it in this game. And there was even times where like he wanted to go back to this plant level. And I was like, Murphy, no, don't go there. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, don't apologize. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just, I can't beat that guy. And I felt so useless and defeated, especially because I've played, again, I've logged millions of hours of Mario games, and they're not hard, and they are made for children. And so I went home and I bought my own copy of the game and played it pretty obsessively, pretty nonstop, and I beat it like an hour before this podcast record.
Oh my God, Dan, congratulations.
Yeah, and if anyone who I work with is listening to this podcast and knows roughly what time recording starts, don't reverse engineer the math to see what I was doing during the workday today. Just let's all just be gentlemen.
That's, you know what, finishing a video game is, for somebody who just dabbles in video games, finishing a video game is such a huge completion.
Yes.
Like the feeling of finality to it is more, like, I think better than even finishing a book.
Oh,
I'm
certainly
good at finishing books. I cannot beat a video game because I'm so bad at video games in a way where it's clear that I just don't have the literacy for it. We played Warhammer or something like that for an ad once it cracked. And we got in this room, we're all going to play this game. And I was like, yeah, everybody will suck at it because nobody knows this. But there's just some like intuitive language to games and like movement and stuff that Michael, that Abe, those guys just know.
I think so it's the same way with you in and sports. If you learn a new sport and invent a new sport, your body is immediately like, ah, yes, I know how to do this. I know that the mechanics are familiar to me. I know how to not just do this, but do it well. There are people who do that with video games where they've logged enough hours that you could drop them with any game and they're like, oh yes, this engine is somewhat familiar to me.
Yes.
Here I go. Watch me excel at this.
And that, including in that is also just sort of knowing like what button is what, which sounds like a very old person thing to say. But the first time I played God of War on PlayStation 2, first of all, I played when I was, it was probably like 2019 and Michael let me borrow a PlayStation 2 and I was playing God of War. And there's a lot of stuff in that game where it's like, please, you got to press triangle in the next 0.6 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, hold on. Let's find out where triangle is.
Right. The okay, game
there we go.
expects you to know some of these more complicated things like which buttons are which. And and that's wrong of the game to assume that. Even this Mario one where they're like, hey, you just froze that guy. Press Y and R together. I'm like, Y and R?
Where have all those
been B this whole time.
look at that. There are buttons on the top of this. Huh. Yeah, I know that feeling. I did get back into video games a little bit recently where, you know, as I've talked about on the podcast before and all the connoisseurs out there will know, I play Red Dead Redemption every once in a while. And I jump back into that game thinking in my head just one day on a run, you know what I'd like to do is just go collect every type of squirrel from every geographical area in that game. So I just did that. I spent a day just with a bow and arrow out in the wilderness, just looking for different types of squirrels and hunting them down and killing them.
There's something I like that. I like a game with a promise of more little side things to do. Like there's something really special about having beaten this Mario. And then when I'm done, they're like, hey, by the way, have you collected all the giant coins in every level? And I'm like, no, I didn't, you dirty dog. But I'm gonna. Now that's my next mission.
And when you said you finished it, I think you, so you're saying you got to the end of the general campaign, right?
Bowser is dead.
Okay.
I killed
him. Yeah, I was going to. I don't know if like some people consider finishing it as like you get all the star coins. You get everything that you can possibly do in the game is done. Now you can only repeat.
No, I'm going to get the star coins. And I'm sure there are other like, I'm assuming it's like every other Mario game, basically, where there are alternate ways to end levels that will unlock other areas that I haven't seen yet. And I'm excited to really explore every inch of this game. Without the pressure of having to beat it to
for my nephew to love you. So it's a two-dimensional one, huh? It's one where you just like you're running left to right the whole game.
Yeah, yeah,
that's great. I love those. There was one of those for the Wii that was like this. I can't remember. It might have just been called Super Mario Brothers, but it encouraged collaborative play. And if you played with somebody else, like there was no better indication of whether that relationship was going to last than trying to play that game with somebody else. Because as the screen would continue to go with the first person, the other person just got dragged up no matter what. And if you happen to be on a platform or something like that, well, fuck you. You're about to go off that platform because you're being dragged along by this other person. And so there's like some real communication that has to happen and a real allowance for the difference in skill. And if you're not on either side of that, if you're not willing to do it, man, it becomes a fight pretty quick.
I was really shocked and nervous about this thing inside of me because I didn't, at no point did I lose my patience with or yell at my 5-year-old nephew, but there were times when I died as a direct result of his actions. And I felt a thing in me that would be like if this was any other person in the world, then I'd be like, you just killed me. Thanks a fucking lot. I'm dead now. I was carrying us to the end, and you just fucking killed me. I could still feel like my body turned to look at him, and then my brain was like, no. You're not gonna be invited back to Thanksgiving.
You see what happened there?
Yeah.
Right. That was you. That was your fault, and I'm the one who's got to carry us. Yeah, I know that feeling. I get that feeling in sports sometimes. I get when you're playing a sport with somebody and they're like, even if it's something simple where they're not taking it seriously or they're just not thinking it through. Like even bowling, when you go bowling with somebody and somebody's like, they're a frame away from it being there, or not a frame, they're a turn away from it being their turn. And they're like, I think I'm going to go get some mozzarella sticks. Does anybody else want anything? And you have to be like, I want you to just think this through because I'm after you. I'm depending on you. You're going to go, you're going to be gone for 7 to 12 minutes and I'm just going to be sitting here and we're all going to be waiting for you. And everyone else is like, yeah, but like we're all drinking and everything. I'm like, no, we're here to bowl. That was the plan.
We're not just drinking.
We're all trying to get our highest score ever because that's what we do every single time we play a game.
Does your son play any team sports through school or otherwise?
Great question. No. Okay. He hasn't even played legitimate soccer. He's not had a true scrimmage before in regular soccer. He's had like soccer practice where they do drills and a lot of running and stuff, but that was a little overwhelming for him and I didn't want to push it. So we bowed out of soccer for a while. Now in March, he's going to play baseball. I'm trying to thread the needle here and do it exactly right, which is I want to give him confidence. So when he goes there, he feels like he understands and the muscle memory of the game and everything and understands the rules. But I also don't want to overwhelm him or get him to the point where he's like, he either quits with me or he gets there and realizes that he's in over his head and wants to quit immediately. Yeah. So what I've been doing is playing wall ball with him with his mitt. Did you ever play wall ball?
I think so. I don't remember using a mitt. You threw the ball against the wall, and if you touched it but didn't catch it, then you had to run up and touch the wall before someone else throws the ball at the wall. Because if they hit the wall with the ball before you tag the wall, then you're out.
Yeah, or you lose a life, and if you lose three lives, do you remember what happens if you lose three lives?
You die in real life, right?
Yes. Yeah. You get cancer.
Yeah.
Now you stand against the wall and everybody else gets to throw the ball at you.
Oh, I don't think we were ever that hardcore.
As hard as they can. And so at recess, there was like some real pageantry to it where as soon as somebody got three, we went nuts. And like, we're like calling over people from the swings and stuff to be like, you got to see this. He's going to get destroyed. And so Adon would go put his hands on the wall and we would all just like as hard as we possibly could. Like we were trying to kill him. It was the lottery. Like we wanted him gone. So I play this with my son once teaching him. I think this is a really simple game. It'll be a game that he can play with his friends and stuff. And as I'm teaching it to him, he's getting really into it and he likes the idea of it, but he likes the idea of all of the rules, including that one. So he's like, he's young. So he's not great at catching the ball off the bounce and stuff. But if I'm really trying to play and I'll hit the wall before him, he'll be like, that's three. And he'll just go stand up against the wall. And we're at a park with like other people who can see what I'm about to do to my child. And so there's a child who's looks like he's getting arrested against the wall. And his dad is 15 feet behind him, just winding up to throw a tennis ball at a child.
Right. Doing a move that even from a distance only looks like one thing. There's no like, no, that can't be right. No one's giving you the benefit of the doubt there.
No.
That you're doing like a William Tell thing.
But he does. Most of the time I was just like, I would either throw it very hard kind of near him so he could hear it hit the wall and be like, oh, that was close. Or I would delicately hit him.
Yeah.
Until he was like, did you not throw that your hardest? I was like, well, no. And he's like, throw it your hardest. And I was like, okay, I love you. And I threw it a little harder at him and he was like, it hit me. It was like, oh. And then did that laughing thing where like that boys, I'm going to gender this. I don't know that it's necessarily just boys, but like where you're young and you get hit and it hurts a little bit, but you're okay. And like, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And so he loves the idea of this game. And so I was like, this is how I'm going to teach him baseball. I'm putting like batting practice. That's just going to have to sit on the sidelines. But as far as it being a defender, I'm getting him to play wall ball with his gloves so that he's getting used to like handling grounders. He's getting used to one hops, and he's just getting used to the functionality of closing a mitt around a ball, which is not a thing I realized you had to learn because I, you know, you've known it so intuitively your whole life, and like where to place your other hand on the mitt and stuff. And so he's just learning that, and he's getting good at like anticipating where the ball's going to be.
That's exciting.
And getting it shut. And I'm like, okay, all right, you're going to be okay. In March, you will be fine.
Yeah. Have you seen, I guess he's kind of young for this world that I'm thinking of right now, but have you seen this video that's made the rounds about these like fourth and fifth grade basketball kids going nuts with their celebrations?
Yes.
It was such a joy for me to watch. It's for anyone who doesn't know that they're like, these are like kids. I'm really saying fourth and fifth grade. And they're playing, it's not street ball. They're in uniform. They're in a school, either in a rec league or their school leagues. And they'll hit a shot and they'll dance or they'll do like, you know, they're acting like the celebrations they've seen their favorite NBA players do. There's like aggressive, they're pounding their chests. They're telling other players, you're too small. They're saying go. Yes. They're doing all the thing, like they're really imitating
and not even just
the most aggressive NBA stars.
It's like playoff NBA. It's like playoff fourth quarter of the game NBA stuff. So like they're making a shot and going wild. Like
they're doing
their chest,
they're doing
putting
Steph
threes
Curry
up with their hands.
Yeah, they're doing Steph Curry, I just put him to sleep, that kind of thing. They're miming going to sleep. What Steph does at the end of the fourth quarter when he knows he's got the victory locked up. It's made the rounds for the last couple of days. Excuse me. And like everything else on the internet, everyone has turned it into an opportunity for discourse that has bummed me out because I always get a little bit nervous and sad and unsure if a thing I like is actually bad for the culture or the planet. Right. Because there are a lot of people, like not everyone. KD, Kevin Durant came out and was like, this is great. I like this. Good for those kids. Goodbye. But like Austin Rivers is like, you should not do this. You need to have respect for the game. You need to learn how to play this game first. These kids are not learning the fundamentals that they're going to need to go into the NBA. And like counterpoint, they're not going to go into the NBA. So let them have fun now, please. But like, I don't know. I don't know if like, I haven't seen a whole game like this. So if there's, if one kid is getting picked on the whole time or if the team is doing really well and they're doing all this kind of like showboating and celebrating, I guess that's bad. I don't know. This is what I've been thinking about all day, and I wanted to know if your son, what the vibe was like at his team sports. But then I've decided forget all that noise because you reminded me of wall ball and how it ends with torture, and it made me think of every sport I played as a kid and how they all also ended with torture. I'm like, these kids are fine. Don't pretend for a second that this is going to do any kind of lasting damage on these kids when I think of the shit that we did growing up.
Yeah. So my son, to answer your first question, he definitely has clocked the idea of celebration during sport and knows immediately that's the fun part. So he does the stuff when we play in the backyard and we play a game. Sometimes we'll hit a little ball or something like that. And if he can get it onto the roof, he goes, oh yeah. And starts like his hands get like just the ring fingers go in. The other fingers all go really wide. And he just runs around the yard, raising the roof, like throwing his hands up, like trying to get the crowd into it. And it's very adorable. It's really fun to watch. He's got a good sense of that. We used to volunteer. There were some kids that also understood that aspect of the game. We would play football with them. And there was one kid, I guess we can use people's names. His name was Daniel. And he was like super into like the celebration, and he was into like gloating. And when he lost, nothing was worse. He was so embittered and would cry and stuff because he hadn't learned to regulate his emotions around sport. But when he was doing well, man, he wanted to just talk shit so bad. And when he would do that and he'd get too over celebratory, I would just go push him down onto the ground.
That's right.
Just to remind him, no, not yet. Yeah. You can start celebrating when you're the best there is. But for now, we're all bigger and stronger than you. You just happen to get a great pass. Even if I was on his team, I would go push him down to the ground.
What a fun moral gray zone that was for us, where it's like, we're volunteers. We're not, these kids are nothing to us. We are not, we were not brought in there and explicitly told, you are role models for these children. We were just like a couple of, not, I don't know, just like happy-go-lucky 20-somethings who were like, look, the good thing I did was coming here. Right. I'm already morally superior to anyone who's not here right now. So whatever I do, is this is just like house money.
Yeah, it was all icing after that. And we would play, I mean, we would play hard with them. By the end of that thing, we were always sweaty and like, we had been like holding them up in the air and flying them around. Or I threw that one girl so high that she peed her pants.
That's right. And she knew immediately, like, I was too high up and I peed and I excuse me now.
We would, there was a tire swing and we would just huck them on this tire swing and they would go nuts for it. I mean, it was this huge cathartic moment, I think, each week for these kids. And it was fun for us too, because we'd play basketball with them and stuff. And, but no, at no point during it where it was anyone ever just like, hey, maybe tone it down.
Yeah. I think here's something that might be helpful or terrifying to our listeners is, as you can understand, we are bigger and more powerful than all of these kids. There's also a person who was quote unquote in charge of this event, the guy who actually worked for this facility where we were volunteering. We were also stronger than him. So like there was no one on any side of this equation that could talk to either of us or stop us if they wanted to. Just this frail older man who's dedicated his life to helping children, I'm sure was just like watching us from inside and was swabbing like, okay, maybe that's enough kids on the tires. Maybe I hear it creaking. Maybe we could just, there's also coloring books if anyone wants to join Ed. Me, Ed, for coloring.
I miss that place. I'd actually really like to run into those kids again, because they're all, I'm sure, now like in college or.
No, damn, I don't want
to be older.
Math. Really? Fuck.
I don't know. But I just to see, just be like, hey, do you remember when we used to do this? I wonder if they'd even remember.
Hey, do you remember some strangers showing up once a week and knocking you to the ground after you just celebrated?
Destroying you. Destroying you on the football field. Or basketball. We would trounce them at basketball. Yeah. I love playing basketball against them.
Bam, 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 bam. It's a new year. It's a new year. We've all got goals. I've got a bunch of goals. My biggest one is I'm going to, for the first time, manage my money better like an adult. I'm going to have a budget. I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to save money. I'm also not going to do it alone, so I'm using Rocket Money to help me out, and you should too. Say goodbye to your outdated, disorganized methods of managing your money. I used to put my money in a box that was too high for me to reach. And say hello to Rocket Money, the better way to hack your finances in 2023. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Lots of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about. A streaming service that you bought to watch just one show on. A free trial that you never even used. I am subscribed to something called Mubi and something called Tubi, and I don't want either of them. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you, so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service and tedious emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to, get ready for this, $720 a year. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/QQ. That's rocketmoney.com/QQ. One more time, rocketmoney.com/QQ.
We mentioned earlier that we hadn't talked in a while and that we hadn't seen each other. And the reason being was that we were supposed to record last week and I couldn't because I was so incapacitated with sickness that I couldn't even get out of a bed.
Yeah. That's
my whole family.
Yeah, is the wrong response. Listeners, I already knew this. That's yes, that's not did. That's not my real response.
I almost couldn't even, this is how bad it was. I almost couldn't message. I considered just being like, well, if I don't show up, they won't do it. But I was like, the thought of even sitting up to get to a laptop or something and write out, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this podcast. Even that was like, that sounds like it's a million miles away. I don't know that I can do that. What happened was my daughter, we got a notification from her preschool. She had thrown up after her nap. So I went there and they're like, I think she just did it from coughing. She woke up coughing and then she threw up once. I was like, okay. So I took her home. That wasn't the case. She then threw up several more times that night. And then by dinner time and bedtime, she was fine. She was playing again. She was hungry. And I was like, wow, a weird little sickness. We thought maybe it was a yogurt we had given her. There was like a mild case of food poisoning. We're like, whatever, it's over. The next night, Colleen and I got sicker, like top five sicknesses in terms of how bad it was.
Wow.
It was egregious. We got these stomach bugs that were so, so bad that I couldn't have more than like a tablespoon of water before I would have to go throw up. And so all night we were just taking turns, I would say like every 20 minutes, going and throwing up nothing, just retching over a toilet and then coming back to bed. And you know, that where you start to get that panic state where you're like, I'm so thirsty. My body needs fluids really, really badly, and I have no way to get them inside of me. This is insane. And so I'm more thirsty than I've been in my life, and I'm taking these like little sips of water to the point where I even at one point went downstairs, got some ice water, put it a big gulp of it in my mouth and just held it there. And I was like, oh, this is so nice. And then spit it out.
Man.
And taking just like tablespoons of water, like every 10 minutes or something like that. And still that's not doing it. Still, that's enough that it's like, nah, it's too much in your stomach. You got to go throw up. So a whole night of that. And the next day was the podcast. And I was rough the whole next day. Ronan also woke up that day and he was like, I also feel sick. And we're like, well, now do you believe your child in this circumstance or is it just everybody's doing it? And so right. They doing it too. Because he doesn't want to go to school. And so we're like, all right, well, you know, get dressed and stuff. So he starts getting dressed and then just throws up all over his carpet in his room. We're like, oh, okay, got it.
And well, son, we didn't believe you. I think that much is clear now.
Thank you for demonstrating. Yeah. You're with proof. This, understand, mom and dad always need proof.
I know you're sick right now, but this must feel really good. You must feel very vindicated.
And so we kept him home, Gilly home, and she was better by this point, but we're just laid out. We can't do anything. And yeah. That whole day was bad. That whole next night was really rough. The day after that felt like the worst hangover. You know, it was like really bad headache, really bad aches, still not a great stomach. And it took a little while like to get over this thing. And I've never had our whole family laid out by something at the same time. It's rough. Like if my son, at one point he went to the bathroom to try to throw up, the toilet seat was down. And that was just like enough of a second that he threw up on top of the toilet instead of in it. So it's kind of all over the bathroom and all over in the cracks of the toilet and everything. And I go in there and I'm like, I can't physically clean this up right now.
Oh, no.
I have to just like triage the damage a little bit, make sure he's okay. And then just throw some paper towels on it and walk away.
Wow.
And then just going to have to agree to live with it and deal with that later.
That is rough.
And now the night that we got really sick was Colleen and I made one of those box meals and it was sole fish. Is it called Soleil or sole fish, man?
Sole.
Okay. So we had sole fish, which when you fry it up, can be a pretty potent fish. Mm. And that smell lingers. And so whatever you eat right before you throw up, your body's natural reaction is to be like, it was that thing. That thing did it. And then we smelled that. Our house was haunted by fish for a week after that. Every time you'd leave the house, even for 5 minutes, you come back in, you get that smell of fish, and just the wave of nausea would return. It was so bad. I just wanted to like burn the house down and move.
I can't believe you'd even go through with the fish at that point.
No, like that's the thing is we had eaten the fish and then the throwing up started after that.
Okay.
So yeah, it was awful. Now, fast forward to now.
Wait,
I'm
man,
sick
I,
again.
I gotta tell you what a gift that was on my end, and like I'm glad that your family got through that and everything. It sounds like a really terrible time, but so last week I had to record. We normally record on Thursdays. I was a guest on Cody Johnson and Katie Stoll's show, Even More News, that Thursday night. So we were going to record on Friday in the middle of the day. I was also on Deadline, and I also had a house guest with me that weekend from Thursday to Monday. And so getting that email from you was like, I can't record today. My entire family is throwing up. It's really bad. I was just like, I gotta be sensitive, and I've gotta like, this is a business that we run. So I have to pretend like I'm offering options. But I was like, here's what I think we do. We don't do the podcast, or we hope he gets better tomorrow, and then we record on Saturday, or I will find a buddy to record as like a guest, and just quick question with Daniel and someone else, which I knew was like a not real option. I knew most, like, we were going to cancel this podcast. No, I was so excited, especially because like after, as I was telling my house guest this, she was like, who is this other person you would record with? And I was like, oh, it would be you. But like, no, don't worry about it. It's not, we're not going to do that. You're the only person I could ask to do that.
Yeah. I knew going in, like, I was like, oh, I cancel this. I was like, I bet Dan is pumped right now, because man, I've been on the other end of that where your job suddenly takes over and you're like, I can't record. We're doing something else at work right now, and I'm on Deadline. And it's the amount of freedom that I feel. It's like a new lease on life all of a sudden. Like, there was a certain amount of my life that was dedicated to just being in a garage. Mm-hmm. And now I can use it to do whatever I want.
Yeah. It was also like for my friend to watch me spend a day writing. It was a really good presentation of what it's like to be a procrastinating writer on Deadline. It's like, I have to finish this fucking script by 6, and I also have to record this podcast in the middle of the day. It takes a chunk right out of the middle of my day. So I can't find a groove before it or after it.
Right.
And then the podcast is canceled. I'm going to go to the gym.
Yeah. When I'm out on script or on outline, I will, I'm very serious about not being bothered during that time. I'm like, yeah, I'll go work in the garage, because I'm like, I just can't, it's so hard to dive back into it after I've already been pulled out of it. And right, I'll go do something. And if Colleen, she's so good about it, but like, if there's like an emergency or something, she just can't handle it anymore, like, she will come and get me, and she'll be like, she's very polite about it, but she's come in definitely before and been like, I'm so, so sorry. I just need, are you watching RoboCop? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking working. It's all part of it. I can't explain why. I don't even know why. I just, trust me, this is part of it.
Is the episode a parody of RoboCop?
No! No! Why would you ask that? my wife is so supportive, and she's so good about when I'm writing. Like, she understands that the process is different from hers, that there are just different things happening. She's, for her job, when she writes, she can do it anywhere. Like, we could be sitting at the dinner table, and I think she could crank something out. And that's baffling to me. I don't understand it at all, but she can do it. But she's also very supportive of the fact that she does not understand mine, but that she needs to respect it. But there are times where, like last night, I was, our friend Michael Swaim and Abe Epperson, they wrote a great screenplay for a new movie, and they asked people to read it. And I was reading it. I was giving notes, and I'm like trying to clarify and build my notes for them. And I'm sitting on the couch, still a little sick because I got sick again. We'll get into that. But I'm like a little feverish. I'm trying to do this. And Colleen is trying to like get the energy out of the cat, because the cat won't sit still all night long unless we drain it of energy before we go to bed. And right, so she's bouncing a bouncy ball around the living room where I'm working. So I'm getting hit with a bouncy ball every once in a while. This cat's like jumping around me and stuff. And I like look at her. I'm like, you don't even know. Don't know how hard this is. You're trying to be so nice. You're doing something that's good for the entire family right now, but it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
It's gotta go.
That does feel like an over the top. Like, even if you didn't need private writing and thinking time, like, look, don't, I know you're working. I don't want to bother you. I'm just going to set up a small house circus just for me and the cat, just in the same room that you are in right now. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to sing to you. We're just going to be singing with the cat, the ball bouncing song here in the tiny house circus.
The sound of a ball bouncing too, it could drive somebody mad, I feel like, because it's the same doom, 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 doom.
I feel like if that was happening around me, I'd be like, that ball needs to either not bounce or bounce exactly on the same beat for the rest of the day. Uninterrupted, steady flow of sound.
It's so, and there's such an interesting pattern to it, because like, she gets the cat's attention, and the way that she does it, it's, God, I guess I'm not really thinking about this until now. How ordinarily, Dan, when you would expect somebody to get the attention of a cat, what noise would you say they would make? Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, that was weird that I couldn't hear. Yes. Okay, good. That is a cat noise. That's the universal, hey, you fucking cat, look over here noise. Yeah. Not to my wife. Ah. Colleen has, and it works, which is the craziest thing. She goes,
caw, caw!
Yeah, she makes the perfect sound of an eagle. She goes, Vina, and she like clocks at it. Yeah, she does a.
Yeah, no, and, stop doing it.
And yeah, yeah, that's how I feel. And the cat is like, oh, what's that? And it works the same way. It means that this entire time that we've been doing, that was just a noise we landed on because it worked once. And we were like, why change it? Turns out there are a ton of noises that make a cat go, what's this now? You want my attention? Sure. What do you want?
That's interesting. I wonder if that's like a regional Arizona thing.
I don't think she had cats growing up either. I'm going to ask her tonight. I'm going to figure out where this, what would you even call that? A clocking?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask her tonight where that comes from. I got to do it in a way that doesn't sound judgmental. Yeah,
doesn't. You certainly don't want her to pick up on the fact that you've been thinking about this for like 48 hours.
No, you're right. It has to be, when she does it, I have to be like, hey, that's an interesting noise. What is that? I can't just like, confront her while she's trying to make dinner. Like, hey, that fucking noise you make, what is that?
Colleen, wake up, listen to me.
You do this thing.
Daniel thinks it's regional. Is that true?
Yeah, is this an accent-y thing type of thing? Well, so I said that I also am dealing with sickness again. I got fucking sick again.
Different sick, different than the stomach thing. You have a different thing there.
A different thing. I one night suddenly had a really bad sore throat. Went to bed and had that terrible all night the same dream that you repeat over and over again because you can't get comfortable or sleep, and it becomes you trying to get comfortable becomes you trying to change the thing in the dream.
Yeah.
And had that, felt terrible. And then yesterday, sore throat got worse, got a fever, just got something new, something brand new right on the heels of another thing. And that's kind of felt like how our whole winter has gone, is that everybody in my family has gotten one thing, we get better for about 2 days, and then something new and surprising shows up.
Yeah, I went to get my hair cut yesterday and get my eye examined this morning, and it was truly like, oh, I've been sick since November. We have a nice window where I'm not sick. I need to, let me just do all the things that are very close to another person's face that I need to do right now, because I don't know if I'm going to have another chance again of not being sick, because it just seemed like the rolling thing that never stopped.
It's comforting actually for me to hear that you're dealing with it as well. I assumed it was my children, that they were the problem, but this last one's tough to blame on them because they're not sick right now. I brought something home. Clearly I went out into the viruses and rolled around in the alley. But I think I probably got it from the gym. That's the only place where I'm not careful.
Yeah.
And the thing about a gym is that you are walking around, you touch everything. Yeah. You touch everything and you touch it in the exact same place that everybody else touches it. So much so that our hand oils have started to like melt through the iron. If you look at like a barbell, a 45-pound barbell, the places where
they go that high,
the places where everybody grips it,
yeah,
is that bright silver. Where the rest of it is kind of rusted or turns kind of like it starts to oxidize or whatever. Somehow that area is like bright silver, and the traction where you're supposed to, your hand supposed to grip for your hands, that's like melted away. I don't know how we do this as humans, that our soft hands eventually over time just start to like melt away metal. But
yeah,
everybody's touching everything in the exact same spot. And then I'm also touching my face constantly because I'm sweating. So I'm like brushing sweat out of my eyes and I'm realizing this is the, I don't know. This is untenable. How do I deal with viruses at the gym from now on?
I also realize that, like, I know that I'll usually have a towel with me and I'll wipe down a bench when I'm done with it, or like they'll have a spray bottle and you can wipe down a bench, you know, the nice courtesy thing to do, wipe down a machine. But it also, I'm very aware that when I'm taking Orange Theory, which is a group class activity, you're switching from treadmills to rowers to floor exercises. And the coach who is leading the session, they're always very diligent when you switch stations. Here is a wipe. Wipe down everything on this machine that you've touched. And we all do it. And it makes me realize, oh, man, I definitely don't see people doing this in gyms, myself included.
No
like,
way.
Like we're
way.
Very, very precise about doing it in class, because there's usually a coach saying, if you need a wipe, reach your hand out and wipe down everything you touch. And now I'm thinking like, yeah, I'll wipe down like my bench when I get ass sweat on it, but I don't think I've seen a single person wipe down dumbbells before or after they've used them.
Right. It's as counterintuitive as it seems, that ass sweat is like the least of anybody's trouble at the gym. It's uncomfortable to like see it and be like, I got to sit in that. Or the where you're there, if you're really sweaty and you're sitting on a bench or something like that, and then you get up and your head has left a little smattering of sweat. That's just uncomfortable, but that's not doing anything to anybody. It's the stuff where every time you grab a weight, you've got everybody's germs all over that weight.
Yeah. Anyone who has wiped their nose at the gym and then just gone back to touching anything.
And that's everybody.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It's not pig pen. I'm not going to paint some, like, there are really filthy people at the gym. You're just not thinking about it too much. You're sweaty and you're touching everywhere. I'm rubbing my face with my shirt. Gym.
It is such a gross place.
It's really bad. I don't know what yours is like right now, but mine, because it's January,
it's
cartoonishly packed with people. Because everyone, good for you. You start the new year, you want you to be a person who goes to the gym regularly. It's a good resolution, yada, yada, yada. I want it to go back. I want it to revert to what we all know it's going to end up being again, which is a manageable population of people. Because right now there's not been a day of the week or a time of the day that the gym hasn't been more packed than it's ever been in the years past.
I think there's just something about January 2, and maybe it is that it's over capacity. The gym smells like breath.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that they have to seal everything up because it's so much colder. I don't know what it is. But like I go into the gym and I'm just like overwhelmed with what feels like a room that's been slept in by six people.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, God.
The whole room has achieved some kind of like perfect mouth temperature.
Yeah. And the people that are brand new, I mean, yes, good for you. I'm very happy for you that you're there. That didn't sound authentic. I am genuinely. But they also don't know the etiquette yet of a gym. They're like, they're getting in there for the first time and they read something in Men's Health that's like, hey, try these four exercises for your shoulders. And they're like, all right, doing all those at once. And so they go and collect four sets of free weights.
Right.
Which is like, stop doing that. And they like go and like take them to a corner somewhere and then sometimes don't even know to go put them back. But yeah, they'll just like go collect a bunch of weights and go bring them, so squirrel them away somewhere.
Yeah.
And so you're walking around just like, where the fuck are the 30s? They've been gone for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, they're with that guy and the 15s and the 25s and the 20s.
Yeah, and everything
he just,
else.
Just got a lot of options.
Yeah. My personal opinion is that if you're the most biggest number of pieces of equipment you're allowed to use at once is two. And I would say that a set of dumbbells counts as one piece of equipment. You get two. You can have two. And then also the other thing is, if you're going to do more than that, if you've got some other huge ass workout going on and you need more, if somebody comes up and they're like, "Hey, I just saw you finished with that set with those 25s. Can I do a quick set right here before you get back to them?" You cannot be an asshole about that.
No.
You got to be like, "Yeah, oh, also if you just need them, take them, because I'm the one breaking the rules here."
Yeah. There are people in my gym who, so the way my gym is set up, there's treadmill machines and like an upstairs area with different machines. There's like plenty of the big weight machines scattered throughout the floor. And then there's a section in the back where I spend most of my time, which is dumbbells and benches. And that's just where I like to be. And since January, people have been absconding with the benches. I don't know where they take them, but I just go and there's supposed to be six benches. And then there's just this huge open space where someone has carried the bench somewhere else. And I don't know where it could be.
Fucked off with a bench.
What other thing were you doing in the gym where the piece missing was the bench? I don't understand.
They're going to be over by the cables. People always take them over to the cables. Yeah. But that pisses me off even more, because first of all, each side of the cables, you should be able to fit two people in there.
Yeah.
You shouldn't ever be the guy who's got both cables at once. And then I think what they do is they set up a bench down below it and add an incline, and then they do flies with it.
Oh.
That's just use free weights at that point. Like, why do you got to do the cables? You're using up so much more space, and it's just not available right now.
No, I've had workouts that have called for being the guy with the cable in each hand. And then I look at the gym and the amount of people in there and just go, "Well, no, we're just not doing that one today. We're skipping that one today.
Right.
There's too much heat on it. We're going to come up with an alternative, or we'll let that muscle fail today."
Yeah. Gyms are, my gym is completely gross right now, but I will say that my benches are all bolted to the ground at my gym.
That's good. I feel
so
like
you
I like
can't take them.
I will be annoyed if someone takes the dumbbells and brings them to another part of the gym.
Yeah.
But I also like, you know, who knows? Maybe just you really needed space. You didn't want to be in this area. That's fine. The benches don't look like they want to be taken anywhere else. They look like this is their home, and they should stay that way, because I'm not going to track one down if one's missing. I will just like the way I usually adjust at a gym is like, "Okay, well, I guess I'm not doing the thing I wanted to do."
Right.
Because someone took the bench upstairs.
I mean, I will go, if it's weights, I'll go hunt it down, because I want to be.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, I want to see the face of the person who's using it somewhere else.
That's important.
And if they're using it somewhere else and they're just using that weight, I'm like, "Yeah, good for you. You're doing a thing." And they'll take it back when they're done. But if it's somebody who's got, for whatever reason, a bunch of other shit around them, and like they're like sitting there on their phone, sitting on a weight, I'm like,
"Yeah,
you got to let me use this weight, man." Hey, I mean, I don't say it like that to them. I go up to them and I say, "Hey, how many more sets do you have with that? Do you mind if I work in right here?" And the majority of the time they're like, "Oh, yeah, okay." But like, they're kind of put out by it.
And I would love it if that other way was how you talk to people in a gym. If you're like, "Hey, you got to let me use that weight, man." You're like,
"You got to let me use that weight, man.
What's the history with you and this weight?"
"I need it back. I feel like shit without it." And then the other thing that drives me crazy is groups of people that will, like, so a lot of times there's like two exercise machines for everything, which is cool. That's great that the gym would provide you with two fly machines or whatever. But what you'll see is groups of guys will go and they'll take up both of them. And so two buddies working out, they're both going to be doing it simultaneously. Like, no, you work on the same machine because you're breaking at the same time. Like, you just alternate. Just one of you goes, one of you breaks. One of you goes, one of you breaks. And I hate seeing that. I also hate when people have all kinds of crazy new workouts they want to do that require like the 45 plates, and they take them somewhere and they just leave a stack of 45 plates somewhere, because they're like, "Why would I carry all these back? Somebody else was paid to do that." Drives me nuts.
This phenomenon might be unique to my gym, but youths, and I want to say youths, I mean high school, maybe even college, have taken to hanging out together in the locker room area.
Oh no!
And I like that, like different pairs of youths sitting down, looking at videos on a phone together and laughing and talking, and sometimes like FaceTiming another friend, and they're just like sitting in this small area, being there. And I don't want things to be like this, but I'm also in my head thinking like, I have to take my clothes off now. And I don't want anyone to be in here. And you're just like, you're just here with nothing to do, which is at least if it's like another person like me who also has to take their clothes off, we will keep to ourselves. But you guys are just like bored, looking for something interesting. And soon a nude man is going to be here. And I don't want to be on the table for interesting things for you to laugh at with your youth.
They have not even clocked you. They have no idea that you're even there. But that baffles me as well, that kids will come in like, they completely fine hanging out in such a dank, awful place and be like, yeah, this is great. This is where I want to be. Because
I think my concern, Soren, is I've realized that anytime I see a teenager with a cell phone, I'm very aware that I might be on a YouTube prank show with prank very loosely defined and show very loosely defined. Just kids have been raised on the internet and they've gone completely fucking chaotic. And I'm going to get caught up in the hit new meme where they slap a stranger in the face in the locker room when his pants are off. And then if I get mad, they'll say, no, look, that's a camera. It's a show. Prank, goodbye.
Prank. Will you agree to be on it? Will you sign this waiver? Dan, I mean, you're absolutely right to be scared of teenagers with phones.
Yeah.
You were almost on that. Do with that phone.
You were almost on that one guy's grocery store sex house show.
Maybe I am on it. We don't know. I might be on that guy's show. We'll never know. I don't think that prank probably went the way he wanted it to. but I did yell at a kid in the cat litter section. I don't know, man. I think you're probably safe with those kids. First of all, I remember being a child and when I say child, I mean like a teenager, and not understanding that places were gross. Because my room at home was a wet towel. Like I was a gross human being at that age. So nothing was grossing me out. So hanging out in a locker room that feels like a tent at the end of a 10-day camping trip.
And I also understand if like they're waiting for a ride home or something, they might just think like, oh good, we don't have to fucking work out for a while. We just like hang and talk about bullshit like buddies do.
Yeah. I found that the kids that go to my gym, and there's a couple, depending on which gym I go to, it's either the LMU crowd, which means that there's a bunch of college students, or it's a high school crowd at the other one. And if I happen to go at the wrong time, which is like 4 PM, all those kids are there and they all have backpacks, and none of them want to be away from their backpack. So like whatever they're working out on, like all 6 of them are bringing their backpacks over to that piece of equipment and just get scattered around. You know, like there's now a big radius around the piece of equipment that everyone's kind of like trying to dodge, but they carry their backpacks throughout the gym. And it's baffling to me. I won't even carry my phone in the gym.
I carry my phone in the gym.
Can't do it. Can't do it. I'm afraid it's going to get smashed.
I got to listen to either music, a workout, or a podcast.
Oh, you got to listen to Your Mighty, man.
Yeah. No.
Your Mighty, period. Man.
Nah, that's in the kitchen drawer. Yeah, it's in the kitchen drawer with soy sauce packets and scissors and instructions for things I don't have.
Things you will never use again in your entire life. Yeah, I've been using my Mighty. I like that a lot. But if there have been times where I've wanted to listen to music while I'm at the gym, I don't have the Mighty, and so I hook my Raycon earbuds up to my phone. But then I will find a secret place for my phone in the gym where no one's going to reach it, and I will sequence it away. Like I'll put it somewhere secret, and then I just it reaches me wherever I go in the gym. Then I'm not looking at it too. And in fact, I enjoy that part of the gym going process. If I'm going to climb up some windows to get to like this top shelf area where I can put a phone, I'm excited about that.
I do a lot of workouts on my phone through the All Out app. I know you gave shit to Men's Health a little while ago. I love Men's Health, and the app is through Men's Health. And there's enough of these workouts that I've done enough times that I practically have them memorized, so I should just like write down what they are and do them that way. But one of them always makes me laugh. It's the trainer is very intense as he's going through the exercises, and there's one specific exercise that he's doing, and he's in between. He's like in the resting period, and he likes to talk about the purpose of the workout and his methods for teaching and everything like that. But he's just not like the best. He doesn't always seem aware that like, hey man, you are leading a workout video right now. He really talks to you like he's just talking to a buddy at the gym. And then this one exercise, he was saying, now, what's the purpose of going backwards on your left leg? We go backwards on the left leg. Oh, my heart rate's wigging out right now. Hold on. And he just sits down and it's like really weird and a little scary. And when he starts talking again, he's completely dropped whatever he was going to say before. And doesn't bring up his heart rate either. It was just something, left leg. Oh, my heart rate's wigging out right now. Okay, so about 10 more seconds, and then we go back into it. And the reason that we're doing it 30 seconds on, 45 seconds off, was like, what the fuck just happened to your heart there, man? Why? Like, first of all, that's really weird. You should talk about how you noticed your heart rate was wigging out and then what you did to fix it. Second of all, reshoot this video if you're not going to talk about it.
Put a cut in there. I'm fine with jump cuts. We're not trying to win an Oscar with this.
What else? Oh, I mentioned my eye exam. This is just another complaint about the forward march of time. And then we can wrap up the show. Okay. I hadn't gotten my eyes checked in years, and I wanted new glasses and also to see if my prescription needed an update, and it did. I hadn't been there in like 4 years, I don't think. And then the doctor at the end was asking me if there's anything else that I've noticed about my eyes, any other new things, new problems. And I go, yes, when I drive at night, sometimes headlights that I see make me feel like I'm going crazy.
Whoa.
And they're just so bright. It seems insane. And he goes, oh yeah, I don't know what they're doing. They're way too bright now. That's true for everybody. It's a real problem. Well,
wait.
And then we're just like, all right, I guess we just agree that headlights are too bright and there's nothing anyone will do about them. Have you noticed headlights being too bright, Soren?
I'm a fixer of the world's problems. I feel like so I flash everybody because I constantly think people have their brights on, and then they flash me back and like, nah, man, look, it gets way brighter than this. I'm like, oh, okay, my mistake. Sorry.
Yeah, they're just driving around with these super bright headlights on all the time. And the doctor was like, yeah, we've got like 18 and 20 year olds coming in complaining about headlights at night. That never happens. They're too young for that to affect their eyes. And I was like, yes. Should we call the government, or what should we do?
I think part of it is that the old headlamps would they had like a directional a direction to them. They were built as like in a, what's it called? What's that oval shape that has a focal point? An ellipse? Yeah, sure. They're built into an ellipse, just like a flashlight. So it like beams in one direction, and they kind of tilt that down on old cars. And then the brighter ones was a combination of down and up. So you're getting a lot more of everything. But the LED lights scatter a lot more easily. So the LED lights are just kind of like shining in every direction. So it feels like every car is coming directly at your forehead.
It seems like a change that has been made in my lifetime that is completely unregulated and out of control. And I feel like if I ever get another car, which I will have to at some point, I think we're all just like shifting in this direction, that headlights will just be bright now, and I will also be a monster.
Yeah, I think that's it. And you just
when I was looking at cars online, they have new smart mirrors now that will dim when headlights from behind hit them, and like, yeah, I guess, but now I have to pay extra for the service for the thing that we should just make headlights not as bright.
I would love that That I would love to have that. I would also really like to have my windshield do that. But I realize I see the dangers of that. All right, that's our podcast, everybody. It's Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. You know that. You can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren_LTD. We're not going anywhere. We're just staying on Twitter. It's,
yeah, I like it now.
We never got that push that we needed. I was really kind of like hoping for it. I was hoping that there would be something so egregious that I'd be like, I don't have to do this anymore. But it never really came. And now I'm like, I'm still having fun here.
Yeah.
You can follow Quick Question there @QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. Big thanks to our sound engineer on this episode, Jacob Weinstein. And you can follow us on Patreon or buy Patreon. Buy it. Give us money on Patreon and you'll get exclusive content from us. Some little after hours stuff where we talk about, I don't know, stuff we don't talk about on the regular podcast. It's at Patreon/Quick Question. Our music, our theme song is by Me Rex, and you can find their music anywhere you find your music, say Spotify, but you can also just find their music specifically at merex.bandcamp.com. Okay, bye.
I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.